Depends how you look at it. But how do we know that we are saved, or what are some assurances of salvation?
Peace.
All right, peace.
Our faithfulness.
All right, faithfulness, or the perseverance, the faithfulness, and continuing in the things of God. All right, Nate.
Well, I would say I knew that I was saved because the things that I used to do, I now had conviction.
All right. All right, so conviction of sin, or ongoing sin.
Ongoing,
yeah. All right, yes, Beth. Yes, Heather. All right, fruit. All right, what kind of fruit? All right, so the fruit in and of the things that your life is manifesting. All right?
I base it on the Word of God, in that I believe what the Bible tells us is required for salvation is to believe and to trust only in Jesus Christ. And so I'm trusting in that, in His shed blood. And because the Word says so, I believe it.
All right, so just the belief and the promise that we find in the Word of God.
Right.
Okay, good. Other thoughts, other things? John.
You know, I guess I was a long study for God. It took me a long while. Well, like 55.
So just a couple years ago.
Yeah, just a few years. But, you know, it's not only the word I get, it's the feeling I get, what God speaks to me, but it's the blessings I see around me. I stand amazed at His creation. And then when I finally realized that God created us to love us and for us to love Him, it all made sense. You know, it just, He blesses me all the time, and just little things. He puts people in my area, around me, who bless me. So I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed that God has chosen me to open my eyes.
Okay.
I'm trying to hang on and earn more.
Right. All right. So just seeing the blessings around us and being aware that we don't deserve them, that we're undeserving, and yet we see them. Yep, Carmen.
I know that we are saved by the Holy Spirit. When something is not right, I could feel it. That's in my heart. That I shouldn't be. Should do that.
Right.
So I know guys with me because
it's
guiding me.
All right. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Anything else? All right, let's go to John 17. We'll read verses. We should finish up verse 7 and 8 this morning. But John 17, we'll read the first 8 verses. Review just a little bit and then jump into verse 7 and 8. But in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your own presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You, for I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me." All right, so quick review. In verses 1 through 5, we see that Jesus wants His followers to do what? know God. And then in verses 6 through 8, Jesus is now making that come to pass. He himself is working to see his own prayer answered by making God known to us. All right? So, kind of wrapping things up here in verse 6. Jesus had lived in such a way that those who saw him should have. You know, now, of course, we know that many did not, but they should have seen the Father in Christ, because he did make the Father known. He said, "I manifested you to them." Now, those whose eyes were darkened did not see, but those to whom whose eyes were open did see that. So Jesus had the character of the Father, and he displayed the attributes of the Father by living the attributes, by living the characteristics of the Father out through his life to those around him. And then, of course, throughout John's gospel, Jesus identified himself as the I Am. And we talked about that last week, how that every time he did that, the Jews were ready to pick up stones and throw at him or try to kill him because he made himself equal with God. So in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you." Everything that you have given me. So what did the Father give the Son? When Jesus said, "Everything you've given me," what was he talking about? All right, his people. All right.
Words.
All right. Yes, the words.
Everything he speaks is not his own.
Okay, good. So the words that he spoke, the truths, the things that he was teaching to them were from the Father. All right, the authority to forgive sin was given to him by the Father. Anybody think anything? And I know it's been a long study. There's several, we'll end here in a second. I'll show you several things from John that where Jesus said, you know, the Father gave me this and gave me that, that we can go through. Is anything else pop in your mind? Go ahead, Everett.
The authority to give eternal life.
All right, the authority to give eternal life.
Well, then we know the pastor's message this morning has been given Christ the kingdom.
All right, yes. All right.
He also has given him miracles.
Okay, he gave him the ability to perform miracles.
So people saw that.
Yes.
Not just heard the word, but it's there. Saw the reaction.
Yes, good. Anything else that pops up real quick? All right, he was given judgment and authority. Okay, and I if you want me to, I can send you the links for all the scriptures. But, you know, he gave him life in himself. You know, Jesus said, you know, "I lay my life down, I take my life back up again. You know, no man takes my life from me." He had the ability, he had life within himself, given him by the Father, the works that he did to do. And then he said that he accomplished all that the Father had given to him. God gave him his own name, the I Am. As when, in addition to this, in verse 8, he gave him words. He gave him the truth to say and to teach and to share. And that's what we see that he did. And all throughout the Gospel of John, repeatedly, we just see that Jesus was doing the will of his Father and doing what he knew the Father wanted him to do. So the disciples now have kept God's word by receiving the words that the Father gave to Christ. They've embraced this, and they've embraced Christ. They've embraced his teachings. They're believing in them. You know, they believe that Jesus came from God, and Jesus has already said to them, the work of God was to do what? Believe in the one that God had sent. All right, so now we're putting together kind of the different pieces of the puzzle where Jesus said the work of God is to believe in the one that God has sent. Jesus said, "I'm the one that God sent." The disciples say, "We believe that you are the Christ, so we believe your words. We believe that you are the one that Christ, that God has sent to us." So now it's kind of circling back and filling in the circle here, because now the disciples are, Jesus is praying for them and saying, "You know what, you have kept my word. You've kept all that the Father has given to me to give to you. You've believed it. You're keeping it." And so the continuation there is that Jesus knows what we need most. And he is committed to giving what is best for us, whether, you know, the revelation of God. He revealed to his disciples the words of God, who God is. And that revelation has continued through the scripture. You know, and now we have the full revelation of God, the disclosure of God's name. Christ manifested that to them. And again, we read the Gospels, we read, and we can see that as well. We have a clear picture of God's character and the purpose, the mission of Christ. And what the mission, the purpose and mission of us as followers should be as well. And so by looking at that, by being able to go back to the scriptures and study that in the Gospels, we these things have been revealed to us. And this is what Christ had revealed to his disciples during his ministry. And so now that has perpetuated it forward. So to know God is the best, most satisfying, everlasting, ongoing, never-failing, transforming, life-affirming, death-defeating, world-conquering, sin-forgiving, stain-cleansing, holiness-teaching, and life-saving knowledge that we can have. And as John said a few minutes ago, you know, we should always be thankful that God saw fit to open our eyes and that God saw fit to draw us to himself. Because Jesus said that those whom the Father gave to him have done what? Kept his word. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only do that as we are shared, or as the light is given to us, then to see that light and to follow it and to obey it. So, do you seek to know whether you belong to the world or to God the Father or Christ the Son? And again, how important is that to even do? You know, is it the idea of, well, you know, I know I trusted Christ, so that's the end. I don't have to really think about it anymore. Or are we supposed to be examining ourselves and considering that, thinking about that, and having the reassurance that, yes, I am in Christ?
Constantly.
All right, constantly. You know, Pastor said this morning, each time you do the Lord's Supper, you need to be thinking, you know, am I a child of God? What did it take? What did I do? What did Christ do for me to be able to be his child? You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And he says, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail to meet the test? So we are commanded, we are encouraged to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. You know, because there are times that we are going, that Satan is going to bring doubts, that we are going to have struggle. You know, am I in the faith? Am I truly a follower of Christ? You know, I failed, and how could I be a follower of Christ? How can I be a true believer if I did this or that or whatever? And we, there are times, and some struggle more than others with that assurance of it. But Paul says, examine yourselves. You know, look to see what are the fruits that are manifested in your life. What assurances do you have that Scripture gives us? And then rely upon those truths. You know, and as Dick said, you know, go back. You know, the Bible says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So do you believe? Are you believing? Are you continuing to believe? You know, then if so, find the faith, find the assurance in the fact that, yes, I do believe. Dick.
Supper is to recognize that I'm not really depending on this or that, or it isn't what I said 20 years ago, 50 years ago, or whatever. It's how, if I were to stand before God today, what's my reason? Why would I? And it's because I trust in Christ as Savior only.
Right.
And those doubts, those things that come along in your life, don't let them push you to the side. Don't dwell on the doubts. Dwell on what the Scripture tells you.
Good. Good thought. Thank you. Yep, Nate.
You know, as Dick said, I remember my mind of Romans 7, when Paul talks about the
struggle, right? The body of this death. And so it's a, there's always going to be that other law that is within us, right? That is warring and fighting. And so that's a constant. But I think as we continue to remain prayerful, sharing with one another, at the same time when we fall, remember that when Christ went to the cross, I mean, he knew about that fall and subsequent falls. And so that's, we should not become upset, or I mean, you're going to be upset, or you're going to be the fact that you know that you've not pleased God, but the fact is that we can get back up and we can continue to keep walking. So it is about persevering through this lifetime, because there's never, you're always going to run into situations where you're always going to have that fight with sin. It's right. Always, it's ever present. So you can't ever get rid of it. The fact that until we get those glorified bodies, and that's a whole different thing. But right now, we have to continue to keep persevering, knowing that Christ already took care of it.
Okay. So. Good. Thank you. All right, so Paul says that. Then what does Peter say? Peter says something very similar. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, which we can go back and look at the first 9 verses, but he says, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we do examine ourselves. We are looking at the fruits, the things that are going on in our hearts and minds, and how we are responding to them. You know, is the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us? Do we feel that? You know, one of the things that we see in Hebrews, as well as the chastisement of the Lord. You know, are you being corrected when you do sin, when you do wrong? You know, because what does Scripture say? He says, you know, if God isn't chastising you, then you're not a true son. You know, you're an illegitimate son. Because, you know, real fathers discipline their real children, not somebody else's. And so that's another thing as well that we need. So do we keep the word of God? And again, it doesn't, as Nate said, it's not absolute perfection, but it's repenting when we fail and realize, you know, God's word tells us that when I sin, that I'm to do what? Confess my sin. And I'm to confess that, I'm to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to strive to help me not to continue in that. And yes, there are, you know, we have besetting sins. We have things that we are more prone to do than maybe somebody else. And just because our besetting sin isn't the same as somebody else's doesn't make us any better than them. It just means that we struggle in a different area of our lives. You know, for some it might be anger. For some it might be jealousy. For some it might be gossip. For some, you know, it can be so many different things. But we have to realize, you know what, I know I have a weakness. I have a propensity in this. And so I need to pray even harder. I need to work even harder. To not allow those things to consume me and control me. And so we're keeping the word of God. Psalm 119. If you missed the couple Wednesday nights that I spoke from Psalm 119, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons. But you know, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. And then he says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I'll keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. And so all of this is based on what? We have to know the word of God. You know, we have to be learning the word of God. We have to be know what the word says in order to obey, in order to love it, in order to keep it, in order to persevere in it, and all of. But it all starts with the fact that, you know, I have to learn it to start with. You know, I have to have a desire to want to know what it is so that I can learn it, so then I can implement it and I can practice it and put it into use in my life. So do we love God's word? Do we resonate with Peter's statement that Jesus has the words of eternal life? You know, when Jesus said to the disciples, you know, who do you say I am? You know, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, and what did Christ say back? He said, you didn't say that in and of yourself. He said, only by the Spirit can you say that. And then the psalmist, a little bit later in Psalm 119, he says, I find my delight in your commandments, again, which I love. You know, those commandments aren't grievous. Those commandments are things that we look forward to doing. We want to obey them. He says, I lift up my hands towards your commandments again, which I love. I'll meditate on your statutes. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You know, we just want to get to the point where we're thinking Scripture, we're remembering Scripture as we are confronted with things in our lives and choices to make and problems and, you know, the problem parents and the problem employees and the problem customers and all patients. You know, it just, you know, we want to be able to just have Scriptures come to our minds and to refresh us and to give us that peace. That, you know what, that I can make it through this. I can be kind. I can, you know, respond appropriately. You know, I can show Christ to them through His Word. You know, do we know the Word as a light for our path? You know, again, the psalmist says, "What thy word is," the Proverbs. You know, thy word is a light to my path. It gives light. It shows us the direction that we need to go in. It's hope for our despair. It's strength for our weakness. It's help in our need. Correction for our wrongs. It's joy greater than all of our sorrow. So we can go to the Word of God and find everything that we need. You know, when we're struggling, when we are in our moments of weakness, we find strength in the Word of God. You know, when we are sorrowing and have grief in our lives, we can find joy and strength in the Word of God. You know, when we are in despair and you know, I've talked to people recently that are just really struggling with all that's going on in, you know, in our country, you know, with COVID and with the president and different things. And you know what? But we find hope in the Word of God. You know, this isn't our home. And yeah, we're just passing through. We have something much better to look forward to. And, you know, there are times that, I don't know if you're like me, there are times that I just feel like, you know, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm done. You know, just, you know, the quicker we pass through, the better off it is. But we have hope in the Word of God. That there's more to existence than just what we have here. And so what a blessing to have God's Word. What a blessing it is to be able to look into His Word, to be able to study it, to just have all of it there for us to look at, to read, to memorize, to study, and to have it available to us for that. All right, then is it 10:30 already? All right, so next week we'll start in verse 9 through 19. So this was kind of our outline that we're following. So we have knowing God, verses 1 through 8, what Jesus wants His people to know God. Jesus makes God known. Now in verses 9 through 26, Jesus is praying for unity and glory. So the first part of that, 9 through 19, Jesus prays for His followers. And then Jesus prays for those who will believe through His followers. And then Jesus prays for His people to see His glory. So we'll jump into verse 9. Next week, Jesus praying for His followers. And let's close in a word of prayer. And gracious Father, thank You for the time to look into Your Word and to study it for a little bit more this week. I pray that You would help us to have a greater love for Your Word and to realize that the answers that we seek are there, that You will guide our thoughts, that You will guide us to passages that the Holy Spirit will use to encourage us and strengthen us and to help us to continue on and to persevere. And thank You for brothers and sisters in Christ who also are encouragements and that we can seek in our times of trouble and for the wisdom that You give to them. To be a help and a blessing and to point us also in the right direction. So help us to utilize one another. Help us to bear each other's burdens and to be willing to share our burdens so that our family can help us through those difficult times. We pray for Pastor as he preaches once again and as the Lord's Supper is observed in the next service. I ask that you would be honored and glorified through that. In your name, amen. Alrighty, you are dismissed.